Hi, everyone. As Parker said, my name is Jenny, and I'm here from the National Institute for Reproductive Health, which is based in New York City. But today I'm going to be talking primarily about one of our programs, which is the Urban Initiative for Reproductive Health, and our recent partnership with the Women's Medical Fund and the Philadelphia Board of Health to pass a resolution in support of comprehensive reproductive health care coverage. So I want to give some background on this issue in particular and why it's important, but also we hope that this case study can provide a model for partnership between local nonprofits and organizations and boards of health or other governing bodies. But in particular, we feel that it's really valuable for reproductive health care. So I'll tell you a little bit about the Urban Initiative first. We were founded in 2008. And we focus on supporting innovative and proactive local-level work on reproductive health rights and justice. We've partnered with about 30 or so cities in 26 states. And by partnering, I mean that we both provide grants as well as really intense and hands-on technical assistance. And we also act as a central source of information on reproductive health care as on the local level. So our partner in this effort is the Women's Medical Fund. They are Southeastern Pennsylvania's abortion fund. And for those of you who don't know, an abortion fund helps women who cannot afford to pay for an abortion by giving them a portion of the fee as well as helping them figure out how to come up with the rest of the costs. In Pennsylvania, that includes women that are on Medicaid because Medicaid does not cover abortion there. Women's Medical Fund is also the rare abortion fund that has a staff, so they're able to educate healthcare professionals and the public about abortion coverage and the impact of denying access to safe and legal abortion. And here I just also want to provide a very brief background on the Hyde Amendment, if anyone's not familiar with it. The Hyde Amendment is attached to the budget every year and has been in place since 1977, and it withholds federal funding for abortion except in very limited cases. So this impacts anyone who receives or qualifies for insurance from the federal government, including federal employees, Peace Corps volunteers, people on TRICARE that use the IHS, as well as women on Medicaid, which was the primary focus of this resolution. 17 states do use funds to use their own Medicaid funds to cover abortion for women on Medicaid, in theory, if not always in practice. But in general, the studies that we've done have found that most insurance plans do cover abortion. And so the calls to repeal the Hyde Amendment are rooted in the belief that all women should have access to reproductive health care that includes abortion, regardless of the source of their insurance. So the Women's Medical Fund and then the Philadelphia Board of Health was the most important partner in this effort. So on Valentine's Day, 2013, they unanimously passed this resolution. As my colleague there likes to say, it was a Valentine from the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. It passed unanimously, and it called on federal and state government to maintain existing public funding for comprehensive reproductive health care and to reinstate insurance coverage for abortion care for all women, again, regardless of the source of their insurance. So this is the finished project. And I'm going to provide some background on how it came about. And for this particular resolution, the first question was why Philadelphia, although some of these factors I think can apply to most communities. But we did feel it was particularly apt for Philadelphia at the time. And the most important reason being that Philadelphia needs comprehensive reproductive health care coverage. As I said, there is no Medicaid coverage of abortion in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia is the poorest city amongst the 10 largest cities. 28% of Philadelphians live below the poverty line, and 87,000 women in Philadelphia alone qualify for and utilize public insurance, which means that they're impacted by the Hyde Amendment. But beyond that, Philadelphia also needed a new narrative around abortion. Some of you may have heard about Kermit Gosnell. His clinic was raided almost exactly 3 years prior to the passage of this resolution. And he was essentially a rogue abortion provider who had been providing unregulated and dangerous care at a lower cost than legitimate providers. And women's health advocates had actually been sounding the alarm on him for several years, gone unheeded. The feds actually finally did raid the clinic, and it was quite a scandal, and rightfully so. But it did give fuel to the anti-choice movement in Philadelphia. and which is already very vocal, and the conversation then became around how dangerous abortion provision is, which, in fact, when it's regulated, we know that abortion is one of the safest medical procedures. Nonetheless, in response to this raid, the Pennsylvania legislature passed unnecessary regulations that we call targeted regulation of abortion provider laws, or TRAP laws. These regulations classified abortion clinics as ambulatory surgical facilities in Pennsylvania, thereby changing the code under which they operated and resulting in the closure of many clinics or significant costs to upgrade for those clinics that chose to stay open but were not already ASFs. Since then, the legislature had also been attempting to ban abortion coverage from plans that are being sold on the health exchanges under the ACA. At the time this bill had been proposed, it's since been passed. In light of all of this that was going on in Philadelphia, the advocates there wanted to do something positive related to women's health care and to advocate for the health of Philadelphians in need. Then the second question was why the Board of Health? And the Board of Health really, we feel, is a natural fit for this type of work. First, because of their mission. They're there to protect and advance the health of all Philadelphians, and access to comprehensive reproductive health care is an important part of that. But there's other reasons why it really worked out for us. First is their role and structure in Philadelphia. The Board of Health in Philadelphia is appointed. It's not elected. And the mayor there is progressive, and therefore all of the members that he appointed to the Board of Health are also pretty progressive. The commissioner himself, who's in the audience here, is a pediatrician, and he focuses on adolescent health, and so personally had an interest in this area. Not all of the Board of Health, none of the other Board of Health members except for one focus on this area, but they're all very supportive of it. But the other reason that this was made it a good match for this work is because they are appointed, they therefore don't have to face the kind of political calculus that the city council might have to face passing a resolution that is controversial. So they felt that it was a little bit less of a political risk for them to do this. At the same time, because reproductive health care is so politicized and so controversial, it was really great to have public health experts stand up and talk about why comprehensive reproductive health care is important, is a public health issue, and to kind of take that political lens away from abortion and reproductive health care. And finally, connection to the work. I do have to confess that one reason that this partnership was relatively easy is because the executive director of the Women's Medical Fund is on the Board of Health, so she was able to help get us in the door. But I do think that there are advocates in lots of health nonprofits that have some kind of relationship with the Board of Health, and of course, it's always good to utilize those. So crafting the resolution. At the Urban Initiative, we worked with Women's Medical Fund to come up with some baseline language to give to the Board of Health, but then, you know, they were, as I said, very excited about this idea and took the language and really ran with it, and we were very happy to allow them to do that. We had initially, the language that we had drafted really focused on public insurance for abortion, and they said that it was really important to them that this talked about comprehensive reproductive health care. In addition to tax on abortion and abortion coverage, there have been, as I'm sure you've all seen, attacks on the contraceptive mandate under the ACA, challenges to contraception coverage, talks about defunding Planned Parenthood and other family planning providers, and the Board of Health felt that it was really important to both, include all of these issues together under one umbrella, but also to take a stance on all of those things and not to limit themselves to one issue. Also, because everything the Board of Health does is driven by data, so is this. We made sure that we heavily cited the resolution. We also made sure it was very specific to Philadelphia when that data was available. And in line with this data focus, they really wanted to have a public health framework, which is totally appropriate and totally works for this kind of resolution. They really wanted to make the case for why reproductive health coverage is a women's health issue. They didn't want to be talking about ideology, women's rights, human rights, reproductive justice. And so you can see here just one of the whereases in the resolution talking about the impact on Philadelphians when they're unable to access abortion. So that was crafting the resolution, and then just want to talk about a few challenges to the resolution. The first being, as I alluded to, a strong anti-choice presence in Philadelphia. The Board of Health was really not looking to have a circus at their meeting, and so it became a challenge to figure out how can we do this, how can we make sure that people know about it, but also, you know, not have kind of a fringe group of people coming to the meeting and causing an uproar. So they avoided contacting the press in advance, decided to hold a press conference the day after the meeting to talk about this. That being said, that meant that the timing was not ideal for press coverage because the Board of Health meetings are at 7 p.m. on Thursday nights, and you know, then it's Friday morning that you're talking about this, then the weekend comes up, and then on Monday it's old news. So you know, we decided that that was probably nonetheless the best way to go because we really wanted this to be a positive article talking, or these articles that we hoped to get to be talking about the positive aspects of this resolution and not focusing on a media circus. Furthermore, then the media wanted to know why now, why the Board of Health, and so the slides that I just presented, that was part of the process of coming up with, you know, how are we, why are we doing this, what's the case, and how can we be prepared to answer these questions, and those are all the reasons. So nonetheless, despite these challenges, we did receive some press coverage and local advocate blogs, as well as some local anti-choice blogs, but also local media, as you can see here, and these are some of the headlines from some of these articles. So the impact of the resolution, and to explain why I'm harping on the press coverage so much, as I said before, it's important to have a positive media story on abortion in general, particularly in this time. I'm sure that if you're even marginally interested in women's health, you see headlines every day about attacks on comprehensive reproductive health care, including abortion. And so for the public at large and also for the advocate community, it's been important to have a few wins that we can point to. But this resolution in particular is also really important because some of you here may even be thinking that repeal of the Hyde Amendment, public funding of abortion, or taxpayer funding of abortion is the third rail and really not going to happen anytime soon. We don't believe that that's true, and we've done polling that bears that out. It just depends on how you talk about the issue. And so we feel it's important to begin working on this with local partners who, you know, have the political capacity to do this and feel that it's important to show that this isn't as controversial as it may seem. And so in getting this story into the media in general was really important to start to make that case. The Board of Health members also really valued the opportunity to weigh in on the conversation. They all care deeply about the issue, think it's important to the health of the people in Philadelphia, and are dismayed by the fact that it has become so politicized. And so it was really a rewarding experience for the Board of Health members to be able to take a stand on a national conversation, but to relate it back to Philadelphia. We also hope that it provides a model for working with non-traditional partners on resolutions, particularly for advocates who often think of city council as kind of the one and only place to go, or Congress as the one and only place to go, but particularly for an issue like this, or you know, the Board of Ed for other issues, there can be a time and a place for the Board of Health to speak up. And then Philadelphia set an example for other cities. So shortly after this happened, we got a call from some advocates in Cambridge who had been really excited by this resolution and wanted to do the same in their community, and passed a city council resolution shortly thereafter, which was really exciting. So what's next for this effort? The first is spreading the word that boards of health and other non-traditional partners can play a part in advocacy, which is part of why I'm here, and this is the third conference that we've presented on this issue on recently. But and potentially with Philadelphia City Council, you know, now we've gotten the ball rolling, and that's where we want to move to next. But we're also continuing to work on these resolutions in cities across the country. So these little check marks of Cambridge, New York, Philadelphia, Travis County are places that have already taken a stand on the issue, and then we are working with partners in these other cities who are hoping to follow the lead, including Boston, to do the same. So that's my presentation. This is my contact info if anyone's interested in doing this in their community. And if there are any advocates in the audience, I also just wanted to put out a plug, or even Board of Health members that are interested in reproductive justice. As I said, we are a funder and we've issued an RFP, so you can come talk to me about that afterwards. Thank you.